Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The third Sunday in Advent is always the Sunday we light the pink or rose-colored candle on the Advent wreath. It wasn't until more recently that the blue candles were given some sort of meaning, but the third Sunday in Advent has been known for centuries as Gaudete Sunday, or rather, Sunday of Joy. It is a brief pause in our Advent preparations to remind us the reason that we examine ourselves and repent of our sin is a joyful one. Our Lord is coming to save. And the day of joy signifies to us the Lord's nearness. For just over a week away, we will celebrate Christmas. To see the truth of this Sunday, simply tell any of our children that Christmas is getting close and see their faces light up. They eagerly wait, anticipating Christmas morning when they finally get to open up those gifts and see what's inside. But sometimes in our sinful and fallen world, those joyful expectations can lead to a letdown when the joyful expectations do not meet the reality of what's inside the wrapping paper. Sometimes expecting the new toy or gadget or tool that we've been wanting, we end up opening up a box and finding new socks or underwear. One Christmas just a few years ago, I was at my in-laws and handed a box with my name on it. In joyful expectation, I ripped it open to discover a bottle of maple syrup. Needless to say, this is not the kind of gift that I was expecting. And I tried my best to force a smile and show the joy that I certainly was not feeling. Have you ever been built up by joyful expectations only to be let down by the reality that followed? St. John the Baptist and his disciples seemed to be struggling with the same sort of letdown. John was the herald of the coming Messiah, after all. He himself was blessed to the point to the man Jesus and say, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Now John finds himself locked in prison. His crime was calling out King Herod on his sin and calling him to repentance. John, who once told his disciples that Jesus must increase and that John must decrease, likely expected the Messiah to come rushing in and overthrow corrupt King Herod and to release John from prison and establish the rule and reign of God forever from the throne in Jerusalem. Yet, there John sat, seemingly forgotten and abandoned by Jesus the Messiah as he wastes away in prison, beginning to wonder. So he gathers two of his disciples and he sends them to Jesus and asks, "Are you the one who is to come? Or shall we look for another?" We too are often tempted to ask this question with St. John and his disciples. We have so much joyful expectations at the coming of Christ in our lives. Yet does that reality always meet our joyful expectations? We hear so many wonderful things about who Jesus is and what he has done for others. And so we expect him to do the same for us. We expect him to speak directly into our hearts, to let us know that we are not alone and that he will protect us from every harm and danger. And yet, we still get lonely and suffer. We expect him to make our lives better, to make them happier. Yet we still experience sorrow. And when these things happen, we expect Jesus to deliver us out of them all. But yet, he seems to leave us there to waste away, seemingly forgotten and abandoned. We expect him to work in powerful ways so that we can ooh and awe at his power, and yet we look around and see nothing amazing happening, nothing supernatural. We are told that Christ comes in his word and sacrament, And yet we don't see the heavens rend open and the Spirit descending like a dove. Nothing drastic has changed within our lives, and we don't even feel different. And despite that, even what Jesus says in his word often seems hard to take and very offensive. What's inside the wrapping paper doesn't seem to live up to those joyful expectations. And so we are often disappointed that we did not get what we wanted and are tempted to ask Jesus, "Are you the one who is to come? Or shall we look for another?" Maybe Jesus will point us to one who will really give us what we want. But Jesus responds to us in much the same way he responded to John and his disciples. "Look, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up and the poor have good news preached to them." Jesus is turning John and us from our own expectations of Jesus back to the reality of God's promise. Israel was promised a deliverer, just not in the way they expected. They wanted Jesus to deliver them from Rome, but Jesus came to deliver them from something much larger. Jesus was delivering people from the very effects of sin and the corruption of creation, pointing them to that ultimate reason for his coming. Jesus has come to take away the judgment against the world. He has come to take away your shame and your reproach. He has come to restore your very life that he had given but has been corrupted by the evil of Satan, the world, and our own sinful flesh. For this reason, the kingdom of God does not come through force and violence the way we might expect, but through the promise of a Savior and the forgiveness of sins. This is the promised inheritance that God has promised for all who believe in him. Jesus was reminding John and reminding us that this is the ultimate hope of his promise. "And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." For Jesus will not accomplish this according to our joyful expectations. Instead, he does what is most unexpected for anyone looking for a deliverer. He came to die on a cross. For those concerned only with this life, who seek power and glory, or who at the very least seek to escape suffering and sorrow, there is nothing more offensive than a Savior who comes to die. Yet for we who are not offended by Christ, who are given the faith to repent of our false expectations, we are empowered to see that the death of Christ, in it he accomplished the most powerful and glorious thing of all. He conquered sin and death forever. For those who are given faith to see what Christ came to accomplish on the cross, we are truly blessed. For as we unwrap the gift, we see the gift of Christ aright, and in him we have forgiveness and new life. That is why we prepare ourselves for his coming by confessing our sin and repenting, because we know that in Jesus we already have forgiveness and life eternal. Though I was disappointed to receive maple syrup as a Christmas gift, when I turned from my own expectations to the joy of the gift received and studied it a bit further, I realized it promised to be authentic maple syrup from the Northwest, and I was soon filled with the realistic, joyful expectation of tasting that sweet nectar. When my expectations were right, reality did not disappoint. When we turn from our own expectations and receive the sweetness and joy of Christ in the gospel, in what he has done for us, to suffer and die and rise again for the forgiveness of sins and promised eternal joy, we are able to truly rejoice despite all anxiety and worry in our life, because the one who has overcome the death and the grave has overcome it for you, and you have been made his for all eternity. And just as assuredly as he was crucified and risen again, so too will we rise when he comes again. On that day, everything that he has ever promised will finally and fully be fulfilled. Those who were healed by Jesus, to whom Jesus pointed us as the answer of his coming, they tasted a foretaste of what is yet still to come when Jesus returns. And so they fill us with the joy of when the curse of sin is finally undone and we are delivered from the corruption of death forever. It is this hope and joy that we receive as we receive Jesus and his promise through his word and sacrament. Though nothing seems to have changed, eternal joy has been made yours on account of Jesus. So be strengthened by this promise, for the Lord is at hand. And again I say, rejoice. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.